If there is anything better than a Talking Tuesday on the beat with televisions, 10 TVs, Adam King.
10 TV pluses.
10 TV pluses, Adam King. And I am Austin Ward.
You are?
On the Austin and Berm Show. If there is anything better, it's a Talking Tuesday ahead of the first training camp practice for Ohio State, which is on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fired up. We were in Las Vegas a week ago, got a little appetizer talking to the Buckeyes.
That was a week ago?
It was a week ago. Can you believe it?
That's been a long, long week.
Time flies. But now we're 2 days away from Thursday morning, Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Open practice. Fans can buy tickets and media gets to watch.
That means you have to buy a ticket? I think they said Austin Ward exclusively has to
buy
a ticket.
Yeah, I bought two.
That's very nice.
So if I needed to, that's a backup.
That's a good call. Thursday, Friday. In case they kick you out from the media, you can still watch.
And that's fine.
That's a good
call. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I got to be there.
One step ahead.
And I'm going to bring the juice to practice. What about you?
I'll bring coffee.
Okay.
Is that what? No, that's not what you meant.
I mean, sure, yeah, caffeine. Yeah.
Caffeine.
It's good early.
Listen, I'll tell you this much.
Where's your coffee mug tonight?
Oh my
today,
gosh!
What's today? I don't
the
know.
The college football playoff coffee mug did not make an appearance. The 9 a.m. starts are brutal, and I'll tell you this: every single time I go to bed like a kid on Christmas, and every morning I wake up like a kid that just would give anything to go back to bed. I mean, we're just like, I'm so excited, but I'm like, what if we just push this to 3 p.m? You know, what if we just decided as a country that nothing starts before noon?
Okay.
Everybody before noon, we just relax, you know?
This is going to blow your mind, but like Ohio State, the players, they're going to get up at like 5 a.m.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's unnecessary.
Yeah.
That is absolutely silly. You should never beat the sun up. That should be your goal in life is sun's down, I'm down, you know? Okay.
Well, that's a catchy slogan.
Mm. I just wrote it.
I
copyright.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
But anyway, we get to watch practice.
We get to watch practice.
First 3 days of camp are this week. That means that we have actual questions that we can ask about what we're going to see from the Buckeyes. So I feel like the first question is going to always be about the quarterbacks, but is that the one that is first and foremost on the mind of Adam King?
You know, I think I got to about 5 minutes with Ryan before I even asked him about the quarterbacks
good.
Of media day. Yeah, because what?
He going to say?
Yeah, what's he going
to
say?
But we do get to watch.
That's true. And that is accurate. I think this circles back and we'll pick up kind of with that is how much are we really putting into these first few days? Because coaches name after 2 weeks of camp. And so I'm trying to think here, there might be what, 6 practices before like
a scrimmage?
Yeah. And so that means that these 3 practices, whether they're unpadded, whether fans are watching, they have to matter. And so when I look at that, I do think to myself, like, do we finally get to be a part of the convert? Like, is what we're going to see actually going to lead to who is the starting quarterback? Or is it going to be 3 days of seeing stuff, and then in the end, we're all just wondering what happened in the next 3 practices that decided?
Well, I don't know. I think, to use your analogy, it has to count. It's not an analogy. That was a statement.
That was a statement.
Here's the analogy. That it's more like those first few days are homework assignments, maybe even a pop quiz. And then the tests are going to be those scrimmages where now there's going to be team periods, movement periods, all that stuff that we hear coaches talk about. And they're the experts. I've seen them. I don't know how to script out a practice. I'll leave that to them. I know that at Ohio State and with Ryan Day and Billy Fessler and Brian Hartline, that they chart every throw. They grade meetings. They grade the way you work out. They're giving out the gold, the champion, the blue. For just the way you get through every single day. So, yeah.
You said the blue?
Yeah, you don't want to be blue.
That's right.
Those are bad guys.
Yeah. I didn't even know the blue existed. I didn't even realize to say that name.
Because no one will, whatever.
No one will ever tell you who was blue.
No, I'm not down there.
No.
Never heard of it.
No.
Not the color for me. But the point is, everything is graded. So, yeah, it'll count. And is it going to be the ultimate determining factor? No.
Okay, but here's my problem. And maybe it's just me being... I just don't ever feel like anything that we see in practice, especially in those first 3 days, do you ever walk away and go, oh my gosh. Like, I feel like every time we walk away from those practices, we see the exact opposite of what ends up playing out. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I think that's where I get frustrated is like, Will Howard, we all knew that he was going to be the starter. And then we watch in those practices, we're like, well, maybe Devin Brown's going to be the starter. He looked pretty good. And then 3 practices later, it's named Will Howard. Like, it just feels like, and you can even go back to the spring game, where it felt like Lincoln Oh, it was all the talk, all leading up to that spring game. And then Julian Sands showed out in the spring game, and now it feels like we're exactly where we thought we would be.
He did.
I don't know how those practices, I guess the easiest way to say this, and I'm struggling here because I don't know how you decide on a starting quarterback based on anything between now and like game week. But I know that they're going to. But then I want to ask Ryan, where are you? What is your percentage base? I need to get to 100% to name a starter. Are you at 70? Are you at 30%? Yeah. Are you at 40? Because if you're at 30 or 40%, I don't think this thing gets done in time. If you're at 80% and Julian comes out and shows you what you need to see, or Lincoln comes out and shows what you need to see, then that's one thing. But I guess my biggest question right now is like, how close are we to deciding this thing? And what in the world could someone do in the first three practices that would make you say, there's my guy?
Yeah, I don't think honestly that there's much you can do in the first three.
That's exactly.
That wouldn't be all that different from the 15 that we already saw, or the grades that they're going to get from the workouts. Now, of course, you're going to start to ramp that up. And by a week from this Saturday, when Ohio State, if they follow the same script as normal, when they'll scrimmage, you're going to have a bigger sample size, 6 to 7 practices, plus, you know, even if the quarterbacks are not full contact, they'll be relatively live-ish bullets. Who's marching the team up and down the field? Because I think that we're going to hear some similar answers when you ask that question. It's like, well, they're all three going to rotate, although Ryan Day has been more specific about Tavian being off to the side a little bit, but going to roll them both, give them opportunities so that they can evaluate as much as possible by a week and a half in. But, you know, I think when you say you can't get any feel for those first 3 days or they can be misleading, I agree to a point, but also there are times where C.J. Stroud is out there for the first 3 days, and even without pads, you're like, guy's different over there. Like, it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Yeah. Like, we can anticipate how that's going to look. Like, and I've said this to you before, and I've certainly said it to Berm. It's like, thinking back to 2 years ago when Ryan Day was basically spending the preseason talking similarly to the way he is now.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. You know, one's ahead, the other guy's ahead. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's 50-50. The fact that that didn't change by the middle of August then became the problem.
It became a concern more than it became a good problem to have.
That's right. And that's the, when we look back in hindsight and relitigate the way that played out, like sometimes you do have a good problem if they're both playing really well.
Yeah.
And I think in some respects, what we saw to think back in spring, it's like you're looking at the potential and you're trying not to rush to a conclusion about how it's going to end. Or at least I was. I can speak only for myself. And that is thinking about what happened 2 years ago and then trying to let it play out, let the process play out. I don't know that I was paying close enough attention, even though it is day in, day out, like all I think about for work, all I cover. It's like, I know how this is going to end. Let's just fast forward through all that. But certainly that's not Ryan Day's perspective, and that's not the way Lincoln Keenholz and Julian Sain will view it.
And I think that's a very good point. And that's, I don't know how we ever get past that. I don't know if we will ever get past it. But if we go through another quarterback competition, and at the end of this thing, Julian is named the starter, and it just feels like at every step of these competitions, we've known who the starter was, and we've been proven right along the way.
Yeah.
And so I another question for Ryan would be, okay, maybe you're not, because I do believe that Ryan thinks there's a quarterback competition. He's not just saying this stuff to say.
Right.
Because you could also go the route of what Urban did with JT and Cardale and say, we're just not going to name one until the first huddle down in Virginia Tech. Which
you
is definitely
could do
right.
That.
You could
do that. I don't advise it. That didn't work out great.
Not great. But he could say, like, we know who it is. We're not going to tell you until this all plays out. Instead,
there's a world where that could happen when you're playing Texas.
That's true. But then my question is, like, throughout all of this, is it a competition or is it the guy that you think should be the starter waiting for him to prove it? Because those are two very different things.
That's the Justin Fields category.
Yes. Yeah. Will Howard feels like that was that category. But then you can look at all of them. It felt like Kyle was the guy. But all right, Kyle, you got to go show me that you're the guy. Mm-hmm. All right. CJ did go show you he was the guy. So I would love to ask Ryan, is this a real competition? Like, in your head, are you sitting there at night going, oh my gosh, these are two great guys, I don't know what to do? Mm-hmm. Or is it, Julian, I know that you're my guy, but you gotta figure it out, because otherwise I've gotta look at Lincoln. Or Lincoln, I know you're my guy, but I need to see it before I ever hand you that starting role.
Yeah, I think there's been this notion. I know that it's true because I've read it from national media coverage that Artie is calling Julian saying Ohio State starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But I know that there is as well from the fan base, not everyone, but there is a segment of it that's, you know, commenting, sending in questions, emailing in to the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com and saying, you know, cool it by pretending like there's a competition. Like you don't have to. And I'm not pretending. I think if you ask me to wager American currency on who's going to win the starting quarterback job, I would still pick Julian Sain based on the upside, the recruiting pedigree, all the things that we've talked about probably a dozen times. I think that as a pure passer, that's the easiest thing for me to go out there on Thursday and look at and see who's more accurate, who flashes when the ball comes out of their hand, who do people rave about the ball placement for. That is always Julian Sain. It's where the competition piece comes in is that what Lincoln Kienholz does is different, and it changes the conversation. If they were both lining up to have a skills competition at the Pro Bowl, like Julian Sain would win that. Is there an outcome where the athleticism of Lincoln Kienholz and a much improved passing ability from him allows him to get on the field for Ohio State this year? Definitely. I don't know what the percentage is, which is what you're talking about. It's not just what percentage are you that you know how it's going to end, but like, what's the actual likelihood that Lincoln Kienholz could win the job?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's truly 50-50.
That's what I want to know. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, and I do think a lot of this, and I know you talk about the fan base, the national media, everybody jumping on the heels and saying this is done. I think one of the biggest problems in all of this, and it's not a problem, it's just how people operate, is that if you go back in the last 20 years, anytime Ohio State has had a quarterback competition, everyone has correctly predicted the quarterback. In the Dwayne Haskins, Joe Burrow competition, everyone said, I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
It was Haskins. I mean, the only one, maybe Cardale and JT, but that was like the most chaotic thing you've ever seen of all time. So that doesn't really count.
I don't really need to realize that one.
Yes, but it just felt like even when Braxton came and everyone was like, you just got to play the freshman. It ended up being Braxton that played. So I can understand a frustration where the fans are like, hey, if on Lincoln Kienholz takes the field against Texas, then I think there are a lot of fans that are going to be shocked. But that's because all they've heard about is Julian Sain, Julian Sain, Julian Sain. Lincoln Kienholz is a very capable quarterback, but I just wish I knew the percentage that Lincoln Kienholz was playing against Texas, which there has to be one.
There is an amount. There is an amount. I don't know what it is. Right. And it doesn't do us any good to speculate on what it is because, you know, that's sort of what happened 2 years ago. It's like, Kyle McCord is going to win this job for this reason, that reason, that reason. And there were definitely times that he was less than 50%
to be the starting quarterback. Kyle McCord did not win that job for this reason, that reason, and that reason.
Yeah,
he won that job because...
So that is why I say the only percentage that matters, and like we can speculate. That's sort of what we do here. We wildly speculate, and then we also try to gather information along the way to inform that. But it does no good for us to really handicap the race that way because Ryan Day himself, they don't practice for two more days. He said, I don't know. And that means 50-50.
So let me ask you this. And this is a Talkin' Tuesday question for Austin Ward.
Oh, what?
No, yeah.
This is your show.
But this is because I'm genuinely inquisitive here.
Okay.
Anytime somebody does something on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, whether it be an interception, a great touchdown throw, great, you know, look off the defender.
Yeah.
We're all going to take a note.
Yeah.
Do you think that
sounds like a good show?
Yeah.
Notebook.
Nope. Oh, do you have a show called The Notebook? Sounds terrible.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Do you think that's what the coaching staff does?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Why not?
Because I have a hard time in my mind comprehending, and maybe this is just...
They're humans, not robots. Like, how can they not be taking note of it?
Yeah, you take note of it, but I don't think it genuinely matters that much. I still believe that every decision that is made when it comes to the quarterbacks is made with the concept of potential in mind.
Mm.
I think that you see Julian make an interception on Thursday, we're all going to say, boy, Lincoln looked a lot better. He didn't throw a pick. But I think Ryan looks at that and says, can I Help Julian not make that throw next time.
Yeah.
Or Lincoln misses a throw to Jeremiah pretty poorly. Can I help Lincoln get better the next time? And that's where I just feel like, I don't know. That's where I just feel like the overreacting from the first 3 days of camp and deciding, and we get to do it. That's our job. We get paid to do that. But I do wonder, and maybe paid? Ryan, what?
You're
getting paid? Love it. Great movie. We are the Millers. Great movie. You guys are getting paid. Maybe it is. Maybe Ryan sits down and he looks at the board and he goes, wow, Julian threw three interceptions today. Lincoln's clearly winning. But it's not a point-based competition. And that's what makes it so frustrating.
No, you make a great point. It's a compelling argument as well. But it's easier for us to evaluate a handful of things that everyone else can see.
Yeah.
And then explain the opportunity that we get, the few that come along to pass that along. The part that I am trying to always keep in mind now, but especially after like going through 2 years ago and trying to accurately convey what is happening with Ohio State quarterback is that's a small fraction. Those are good, they're significant, and we get to see it with our own eyes. And we saw five practices in the spring. Those were significant. It does validate at times that like Lincoln Kienholz had what was widely viewed by the people that got to see it, four practices that were better than Julian Sain, and Julian Sain had the better one in the spring game, and 50,000 people got to see that, and anyone watched on TV. But even still, taking in the one over here, the four here, there were 10 others in the spring. And there are going to be 27 practices that we don't get to see in August. So it goes back to what you were talking about at the beginning. How much do these first three practices matter? They count. If they do something that's good, if they take care of the football or don't take care of the football, they will take the notes. They will factor into the evaluation. Is it different if you don't have pads on, if it's not 11 on 11? Of course.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I don't know when they get into the meeting room what the calculus is. Say, well, this practice was really bad, but it was acclimation day. Here's where he is now. Well, this is really good. I think it does also tie into what you're talking about with the potential and trying to tap into that. There are good mistakes. There are, which are the ones that you learn from.
Yeah.
I'm going to dip into the Ryan Day coaching speak in the well here. You can make mistakes. And if you're willing to take a chance, sometimes that's a good thing as well. If you're confident in your read or your decision-making or where the football is, you know, great, the read that you made. But if it didn't work out, how are you going to adjust and improve? You can't make the same mistakes repeatedly. So sometimes that is the issue that we get into when you're talking about covering an open practice. We see the mistakes, and then the next day we may not see if it was corrected or not. And that's what's going to be what determines the starting quarterback. They're both going to make throws that they don't like on Thursday. We're going to see that. They're both going to make throws that they do like on Friday. We're going to see that. Mm-hmm. It is then what they do next week to either sustain the good or erase the bad.
I think we will never know the true answer to this question. But I just want to see, I wish we could tap into Ryan Day's brain and just watch.
Are you sure?
Just watch the percentage.
Oh, okay.
Like he sees a throw. Does that throw even bump at 1%? Or is that throw, like, I'm just so intrigued. Is there an alarm bell that goes off when, you know, Julian throws an over the shoulder to Jeremiah and a beautiful pass and he's like, 100%, you're in. I know that's not the case, but it's just.
It might be, because he's human. He's deep down, he's human.
That's, I think, the thing, is that at the end of the day, he says, I want routine plays to be routine, and that's who will be our quarterback. But also,
I want the spectacular too.
Yes, he wants the. That's the thing. Is so. How do you not sit down and say, "I want routine plays routinely"? But boy, Julian, you see that one throw? That man can make a throw. I mean, yeah, it might struggle here, but like, I just. That's why I'm not a college football coach. I declined the position at Ohio State because I didn't want to have to make those decisions.
That's an incredible amount of self-awareness.
A lot of people don't know this, but after the Rose Bowl against Washington, Urban actually walked to me with the whistle, and I said, no, there's Ryan.
Right over there. I'll be the offensive coordinator.
And then Ryan put the whistle in his neck, and he said, who's that guy?
Get out of here.
Get out.
He made the right choice.
He did. He certainly did. But no, that's why he gets paid the big bucks. I just wish, maybe it's a documentary in 20 years, and we can sit down and say, what was the moment for you with Will? What was the moment for you with Kyle? What was the moment for you with CJ? Because he had one. There was a
If you're talking about tapping into his brain, then we also need like truth serum, because
I've had those conversations before, and so have you.
Yes. He's like, well, it's not one moment.
Yes. And you're like, but it is. Because there was a moment where he wasn't your starter, and then there was a moment where he was. So what happened here?
Yeah. Well, we sat down after practice and we said, you're going to be the guy.
Yeah.
It's not permanent.
Yeah. See, there you go. I mean, you got the coach to speak down perfect.
Yeah. Because we have heard it. I have heard it a ton of times. But is there another position or another question that you're hoping to have answered on Thursday that doesn't have anything to do with the quarterbacks?
I will say this, sidebar, this is our first time we've really dived into the quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is.
And I loved it because I feel like I need to get that off my, I'm just so
over. Well, is there more? I mean, you don't have to stop.
No. I think I said my piece. Like, okay. I'm just overwhelmed with the idea that we all feel like we know who's going to be the starter, but also we have nothing to base that off of other than what we see with our eyes and what we hear from the players and coaches who are also phenomenal. I mean, credit to Jeremiah. Somebody asked him about Julian at Big Ten Media Day, and he said, yeah, Julian's very good, and this is what he does great, but here's what Lincoln does. And I was like, all right, well done, well played. Well,
I'm not trying to take credit for it, but if you watched Wednesday's episode of The Beat where we talked to Jeremiah Smith, we said, hey, when you were doing that story with The Athletic and Manny Navarro, did you just answer a question that was solely about Julian Sain, and then because the way that you operate is you will answer what you're asked and then nothing else.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's what happened. I was like, that's pretty much what we thought.
That's
you just were not asked about Lincoln Kainold.
Exactly.
So you didn't get any story.
Took notes of that and went up to the podium. And but that's, I mean, I'm very, very intrigued about this one. Maybe this quarterback battle more than any in the past, because I don't think you could have convinced me an ounce that it was going to be anyone but Will Howard. I think you could have convinced me it might have been Devin Brown, but not for the right reasons. Like, Devin's great, but I think I probably would have said to you, it should be Kyle. Uh-oh, it definitely should be Kyle. Okay, it probably should be Kyle. Like, okay, well, it could be either.
Yeah.
And of course, CJ. Like, this one, it feels like everybody thinks it's going to be saying. It feels like video games thinks it's going to be saying. And, you know, what does that
betting odds think it's going to be?
Is he hanging out with Ryan? Did Ryan say, make sure you make Sain the starter in the game?
It's going to really help me.
It's really
if people have a month to play the game before training camp.
What did you guys see from Sain when you were on the road at Penn State?
Yeah, a 75-yard throw to Jeremiah Smith.
I saw his greatest throw I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty amazing. People were saying that was a JJ cheat code. I'm like, if Julian Sain can do that,
then you're safe.
It's going to be
anybody.
Good.
You don't need Jeremiah under that throw.
Adam King's out there.
Well, I don't know about that. I would trip over myself.
Okay.
Other thing that, I mean, we're going to learn about a lot about the offensive line on Thursday. That's the number one spot. I mean, once we just kind of see how guys get out there and line up, you're going to, because I do think that is a position where you very much can figure it out in the offseason. You can move stuff around. Okay, these are my five guys. Go out there. I'm sticking with these guys. And they'll have, you know, it'll be a fluid situation. But I think whoever takes that first rep, it matters. You can't roll offensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, you can alternate reps, but you can't be like, well, everybody's going to take a different snap at this position.
Well, they had two last training camp.
Yeah, well, that was for a different reason. Yeah. They were grasping. They rolled through the whole season, really.
Yeah. Don't want to see that again.
No. I'm excited to see Jermaine Matthews.
Okay.
Caleb Downs told me that Jermaine Matthews is taking the biggest step up of any player. He said, you're going to, and I thought to myself, that's wild to say about someone we expect to already, like, he's already very good. So now you're telling me that he's gotten that much better. I'm very, very intrigued on that.
I think the same thing about one of those presumptive starters that you had on your stock watch, which was Kenyatta Jackson. Like, if the way that they're talking about him and the leadership component, like that, even when you were bringing him up, our conversation was solely about, all right, what's he going to do on the field? Can he get the sack numbers? Can he play against the run? Can he do the football things that Jack and JT did? And it wasn't like, it just doesn't come to front of mind. Like, well, everybody over here is also saying he's been a tremendous leader and he's setting the tone. It's like, I did not expect that at all. So Jermaine is in the same boat. I actually remember, this is when I got really excited about Jermaine Matthews and what this year could look like for him, where he was like, after drills in spring, he'd go through and he would get an extra one for himself behind. And then he would be talking to Devin Sanchez or Aaron Scott. And like, the way he was communicating to lead that group was different than he's been before. He's always been a great talker, very vocal, trash talk primarily, not necessarily constructive criticism for his teammates, but that's a role that he took on. So when we've said, who are the guys that can replace, Denzel Burke was critical for that, whether he had ups and downs on the field or not. If he lived up to what he wanted to do when he came back from there, it doesn't matter. He won a national championship and he was a key leader and he was a spokesman for the team. Somebody has to help fill that void. Davison Igbinosin, people look to him for that work ethic, but think in terms of like truth telling for the defense, which is what I thought Denzel Burke was the prime example for that. If Jermaine is taking on that role or Kenyatta Jackson wants to do that, great, because somebody has to.
It's really interesting. As we talk about all the leaders on this Buckeye team, it feels like there's a ton on defense. When you look at offense, I'm very intrigued as to the leadership roles there. Like, we know Carnell, but he's a soft-spoken guy. I mean, but we know Carnell is going to be a leader for that offense. Guys like Brandon Ennis have become a staple leader. But when you look at that, I mean, the other position groups, tight end room is a lot of new. I mean, you imagine Kaz Marek, he's got a year under his belt, but yeah. I can't imagine Claire is stepping up and saying, hey, I've been here for 6 months, let me be the leader of this offense vocally. So I feel like on defense, they have like eight guys that could be captains, could be leaders. Mm-hmm. On offense, I'm very intrigued to see who, because look at the running back room. I mean, James Peoples, is that your, and it might be. I saw a picture of James Peoples where he looked absolutely ridiculously built. He's much bigger than he was. So maybe it is, but I think the offensive line is going to have a lot of vocal guys on it that step up for this team.
You know, Ryan Day named another one, and it did come from the tight end group last Tuesday at Media Days, Bennett Christian. So
that's true. He's been around. And what a full circle moment for him to be it. Yeah.
And going through adversity, coming out the other side. And
he's also almost a G. Scott-esque story there.
Could be. And sometimes we, you know, associate your best leaders are all your most productive players. That's not going to always be the case. And G. Scott is an example of that a year ago. And the tight end room lost that. Yeah. Lost G. Scott's voice. They lost his stepping up in those key moments. And I don't think that means that Bennett Christian is going to have a 40-yard catch on the first play of the Rose Bowl. But, you know, much of what you're trying to do is get through a workout, then get to the next practice. And somebody who is always, you know, energetic and not lagging for energy, like, they don't have to be the starters for that. It's always helpful when it is. But I think Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith have that part covered.
Yeah.
You need somebody to help push the rest of those guys along. Bennett Christian getting a shout out at Big Ten Media Days was not something that I was necessarily expecting. No. So good for him.
Good for him. Hey, the next time we do this, we will have seen three practices.
That means, so you're, the way you've approached this entire episode is you don't think we're actually going to have real answers when we get here. So we're just going to have more questions.
No. I think we will have answers in a lot of ways. But I mean, there is a world where we watch the first three practices and we go, okay, this was a fun game. It's clearly this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate the world of unknown Austin. I just want to know. I'm like everybody else out there. I just want to know. I want the guy under center and let's ride. I mean, I think about the fact the first time we saw Will practice in the spring practice, I went, whoa, yikes. What's going on out there?
Yeah.
And by the end, he set the college football national title record for completions to start a game. So.
And now you guys are best friends.
And, you know, we talk at least once in every hour. Yeah. You know, it's not best friends. We're real tight.
Just close. Just close friends.
He moved to Pittsburgh. I didn't even get an invite to come with him.
Well, he knows that you have a job, and now he's got one to do, too.
That's right.
I know that it'll work out. Don't worry about it. I'm here for you now.
That's why you're here. That's you filled that void.
And I'll be here every Tuesday for a Talking Tuesday with televisions, 10 TVs. 10 TV pluses, and occasionally 97.1 The Fan's Adam King.
Oh, man, I got to update that Twitter bio.
Yeah,
it's getting long. Thanks for having me.
Going to be tough.
We read the comments.
Going to be tough for Jerry to rattle off all that. But yeah, well, you read the comments.
I read the comments, and then I tell Austin about them.
Do you think that you had more energy for the show?
I did. There were some questions about my energy in Vegas. I will tell you, I got up at 2 in the morning, flew out to Las Vegas, did all that work. That was like the last thing.
That was the longest day of the year.
Yeah, that absolutely. More like sitting down in those chairs and I'm like, woo! I have been awake now for 28 consecutive hours.
Yeah, but we do need to build a similar like studio.
Yeah,
that setup was great.
We can just ask them if they'll ship us that backdrop.
They should. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
Las Vegas is throwing it out there.
We'll bring it to Indy next year.
Great. We're going to do that. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
On a Talking Tuesday on the beat. He's Adam King. I am Austin Ward, and we are 2 short days away from Ohio State practicing at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We'll see you there.